What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for this morning's look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. According to the latest report from the Department of Epidemiology of the Ministry of Health, 866 new cases of COVID-19 and one death were confirmed in the last 24 hours. The 866 cases reported on Monday were detected after the application of 4,807 tests, returning a positivity of 18%. Regarding the deaths, one was reported in the last 24 hours. This now brings the total to 8,348. The lethality percentage is 0.9. As for the active cases, it is detailed that there are 14,148, and of this amount, 13,918 are in home isolation and 230 are hospitalized. Those in isolation, they're divided into 16,906 at home and 12 in what we call the hospital hotels. While those hospitalized, 9,195 patients in the wards and 35 in the intensive care units. The Commission for the Evaluation of the Critical Shortage of Medicines recommended the implementation of a pilot plan so that the patients of the Social Security Fund, the CSS, can also acquire medicines in the country's stores. The announcement was made on Monday by Vice President of the Republic and Coordinator of the Commission, José Gabriel Carrizo, who presented the proposal to President Laurentino Cortizo. Carrizo asked the President to approve the beginning of this proposal, which is an alternative to the lack of medicines in the CSS. Carrizo specified that his pilot plan is called Medisol, Solidarity Medicine, that would work in a similar way to the digital voucher. It was detailed that when the insured goes to the CSS pharmacy and there is not the requested medicine, a digital prescription, Medisol, will be issued, which will be accredited in the person's ID. In the second step, the insured will be able to go to the affiliated stores, to date there are five, and present their ID card to receive the prescription drug free of charge. Subsequently, the CSS will pay for these products. The four polyclinics that will begin the first phase of this plan are Generoso Guardia in Santa Librada, Manuel María Valdés in San Miguelito, Manuel Ferreira Valdés in Calle 25, Caledonia, and Alejandro de la Guardia in Betania. In this first stage, they will start with four medications to treat hypertension, such as amlodipine, indapamide, irbesartan, and lisinopril, and one for cholesterol, which is simvastatin. The businesses that are participating in the program so far are El Fuerte, El Machetazo, Extra, and Ray Supermarkets, and the Metro Plus pharmacies. After listening to the proposal, President Cortizo said that the Commission has drawn up a route to face the shortage of medicines. "My decision is to approve the recommendation to start as soon as possible," said Cortizo, and he added that it was important to stress that this is a pilot plan. The country has added 60,000 additional workers to the informal sector in less than a year, which combined with the increases in the state payroll and the contraction of formal private employment indicates a worsening of the process of precariousness and nationalization of employment that had been developing before the pandemic in Panama. In October of 2021, there were 677,875 informal jobs, while for April of 2022, the figure stood at 737,922. This means that informality has held 48.2% of the non-agricultural employed population throughout the country. The Institute of Statistics and Census, the INEC, indicates a trend that has not varied geographically over time. As of April of 2022, the majority of the informal workers were in the provinces of Panama, West Panama, and Chiriquí, which is where there is a higher density of population engaged in non-agricultural activities. In Panama City, for example, there are 298,732 informal workers, 42.8%. In Panama Oeste, another 135,102 in the same condition, 48.8%, while in Chiriquí, 76,000, and that is 54.7% reported. In the other provinces, the situation continues to be dramatic. In Bocas del Toro, of a total of 48,661 employed persons, 29,197 are informal, which indicates 60% informal employment. In Darien, the informality rate is 65.6%, and the Gunayala region is 93.2%. The indigenous regions stand out on average with a percentage of informal employment above 82.3%, which reflects the precariousness in which they live in some geographical areas. The judicial branch must demand from the executive a budget that allows it to exercise its functions properly and in compliance with the ruling of the Supreme Court of Justice that declared several articles of the 2021 budget unconstitutional for failing to comply with Article 214 of the Constitution that indicates, among other aspects, that, quote, the budgets of the judicial branch and the public prosecutor's office shall not be less together than 2% of the current income of the central government, unquote. This was warned by the promoters of the unconstitutionality lawsuit that gave rise to the ruling. Carlos Lee and Juan Carlos Arús, at the time when the Ministry of Economy and Finance and representatives of the judicial system are analysing the budget for the validity of 2023. For now, the judicial branch has requested that it be assigned almost $140 million more for 2023 than what was approved for the current term of 2022. That is $330,277,600. The Attorney General's Office, which manages a budget of $200 million for 2022, has not yet supported the MEF with its forecast for next year. Neither has the Attorney General's Office, which for this year has a budget of $6.5 million. The court ruling that established that several articles of Law 176 of 2020, that's the 2021 budget, violated the Constitution was issued on December the 23rd of 2021, 2 months after the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, sanctioned the Law 248 of October the 29th of that year that issued the general budget of the state for 2022. That is, it would be the first time that both the executive and the judiciary can prepare a budget in light of the aforementioned ruling. Lee, from the Alianza Ciudadana Pro Justicia, says that he hopes that based on the court's ruling, the MEF will adjust the criteria regarding respecting and complying with what is established in the Constitution. He warned that the consequences of the cuts to the budget of the administration of justice could be described as a serious fault on the part of the Panamanian state. This, he explained, is because there are about 12 approved laws that have not been fully implemented due to the lack of the necessary budget. After the arrival of the new leadership of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, headed by Benicio Robinson and Ruben de Leon, President and Secretary, respectively, the discomfort within the group has worsened. The situation has even led founders to resign from the party of Omar Torrijos Herrera. Those who have left the ranks of the PRD have pointed out that the group has lost its way and that they have stopped identifying with the ideals and values that at one point led them to be part of this political project. Added to this are the complaints from the party's bases, which indicate that they have not been considered particularly to enter the already bloated state bureaucracy. Fernando Arambaru Porras, former Minister of Economy and Finance, during the administration of former President Ernesto Pérez Vallarís, announced his resignation because, among other things, the PRD has become a clientelist and aimless party. The former General Secretary of that group, Pedro Miguel González, who described the resignations as, quote, unfortunate, said that some founders of the party lost faith due to the distancing of the party's postulates from the government of Laurentino Cortizo. González, who has said that he will make it difficult for Robinson's initial proposal to support José Gabriel Carrizo for the presidency of the Republic for 2024, believes that the June 2023 primaries could encourage the return of those who have real conviction, as long as we are capable of generating a genuinely Torista movement that disputes our presidential candidacy with those who seek to impose themselves from power. The former president of the PRD, Francisco Pachi Cárdenas, assures that the leaders have lost the direction and the objective for which the party was created. But he points out that's not a good enough reason to quit. Like many of us who form this party, I will not give up and will continue my fight for the fundamental principles, he wrote on his Twitter account. Carlos Pérez Herrera, second Undersecretary of the PRD, says that his party, with 688,670 members, has survived in government and opposition. In his opinion, if the current leadership supports Cortizo's management, then he will have much more options to repeat in 2024. But he says, with the will to correct along the way. Among the figures that have left the PRD are the former Minister of Social Development, Leonel Calderón, who today is in the ranks of the Movimiento Otro Camino, and the economist David Said, who assured that there is a table of appointments in the government of Cortizo. This Monday, 27th of June, the agricultural cargo carriers of the highlands of Boquete sector of the province of Chiriquí continue with their second day of vigil and stoppage of activities. The stoppage was carried out despite the fact that the government on Saturday, June the 25th, agreed to freeze the price of fuel at $3.95 per gallon for agricultural transport. This Sunday, a group of spokesmen for the protesters told local media that they want the reduction not only to be for that sector, but for the entire country. They argue that if fuel prices continue to be high, people will stop buying food and lose out. The first estimates show that some 100,000 quintals of agricultural products are not being transported to national markets. The group maintains the measure of calling attention to the authorities for other problems facing the sector, such as the cost of agricultural inputs. In a peaceful way, the carriers park their articulated trucks, Smurf-type trucks, pickup trucks and other, in Paso Ancho, as did their colleagues in the Boquete area, spending the night next to their vehicles despite the low temperatures. Hernán Cortés, spokesperson for the producers, specified that there are enough problems in other points, such as the payment of agricultural supplies, the issue of freezing fuel for international cargo transport, among others that will be discussed at the dialogue table this Tuesday, the 28th of June. We maintain the measure as a wake-up call without disorder, said Cortés. And that's it. There we go. There's our look. Those are some of the things that are relevant to us here today in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on The Breakfast Show.